We are blessed. How many people think they're blessed? Mate, we are blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed because we live in New Zealand. How many people say that? We're blessed. All you Aussies that are living over here, of course, that's what you know as well. You're blessed living in New Zealand. If you've come from anywhere else, it's great to have you. We're blessed living in Tauranga. Oh, man, you're not very enthusiastic about that, are you? Man, I say to people all the time, look, New Zealand's the best country in the world to live in, and we live in Tauranga, which is the best city in New Zealand to live in. We live in the best city in the world. Do you reckon? Man, I think so, man. Definitely. We're blessed in our house. Who lives in a house? Right, we're blessed. You got a house. No one was out in the rain tonight or this morning. That's good. We're blessed to be in a beautiful church building. Man, you're very quiet. I suppose you've just had a bath, so you're just recovering from the heat. We're unbelievably blessed with this building. I spend a lot of time talking to pastors who don't have buildings. And I go, oh man, it's so hard sometimes talking to them because I just feel for them. You know, we all sort of wander in here. The chairs were already out. How many people have been in a church? We have to put the chairs out every morning. Yeah. You appreciate just being, we're blessed. Unbelievably blessed. How many people eat 3 meals a day at least or more? More? Yeah, some of us have more. We should have less. We're blessed. Unbelievably blessed. Do you have a job? Go to school? Got a job? If you got a job, you're blessed. Man, one of the things that just blew me away when I went to India, in the province that we went, they had 90% unemployment. Like we think we've 90%. And the fascinating thing was, parents would borrow so much money that it had taken 15 years to pay it off just to bribe to get their kids a job. Like it's mind-boggling. If you've got a job, you're blessed. Mate, you're incredibly blessed. Okay. If the government supports you, man, you're blessed. Yay. We take it for granted that, when we get to 65, the government's going to give us some money. Well, that doesn't happen in every country, does it? We're blessed. Are you blessed? Mate, you're incredibly blessed. If you drove here in a car this morning, oh man, you're blessed. Incredibly blessed. Psalm 107 verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His faithful love endures forever. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Are you thankful this morning? Okay, you're getting there. Psalm 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In all things give thanks, because this is the will of God. That's good. I'm setting you up, you know that, don't you? But we'll get there. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Psalm 103 verse 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. You're blessed. Incredibly blessed. Ephesians 5:20. And give thanks for everything. Thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. You're blessed. Tell the person next to you, you are incredibly blessed. Tell the person on the other side, that's because you're sitting next to me. Man, we are so blessed. We're blessed as a nation. We're blessed as a church. You're blessed as an individual. I'm going to talk about finances this morning. Oh, how exciting is that? You know, every year we get to talk about finances. I just think it's something that every year you've got to talk about. It's a big part of our life. And so I'm going to talk about tithing and giving. And hopefully, if this is your first time in church, I need to sort of talk about this once a year. You know, you're always worried that one time, and if you brought a friend today and I'm talking about giving, it's great. It's a great thing to know. So let me just establish, these are just a couple of things that I'm just going to put out there and tell you. But first of all, when it comes to tithing and to giving, I've got to go, it's a personal decision. I never want anyone to give out of pressure. And that's scriptural. 2 Corinthians 9:7. What does it say? You must decide in your heart. You don't decide in someone else's heart. You don't decide for someone else. You decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. So on one side, don't give reluctantly. But don't give out of pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, happily. One of the crazy things, you know, like church over the years has had some sort of crazy things that you do. You know, there's some crazy things that we've done over the years. Can people remember some crazy things? One of the crazy things was we used to shout and cheer when someone would mention we're going to take up an offering. Like it was a bit over the top, really, wasn't it? You know? But that's what this is saying. We're going to be cheerful in our giving. Can you smile this morning? Look, just smile, just so I feel that you're getting it this morning. Yeah, just smile. Okay. Second thing I put down here, you've got to remember that when we give tithes and offerings, we're giving to God. Never forget that. You know, Jesus says at the end, you know, you looked after me when you gave to the poor. When you give, it's giving to God. That's what God's language is. We give. And you've always got to remember, hey, I'm giving to God. It's about your heart decision to give to God. Third thing is I think you need to have a personal revelation around tithing and giving. Don't do it because I've said so. Don't do it because someone else said so. Do it because you've gone and you've studied the scriptures and you go, I've got a personal revelation that this is how I live. You've got to have a personal revelation on it. Because it's something that I think you've got to, you need faith to be able to do it, and faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. So you've got to have gone through this process of going, right, I've looked at this and I've read the word and I believe that this is the right thing. And do it out of faith. If you do it out of obligation, it'll never be out of the right motive. And so we've got to get our hearts right. It's a heart thing. And if right now I start talking about money and tithing and you feel mad or angry, that's a good thing. Because that's revealing something in your life. Don't get upset about that. Go, why am I feeling that? What is that? Why do I get upset when they talk about money? Why is it that I think, man, whenever they do a finance series, I don't come to church, which is why I didn't tell you I was going to talk on finance. I just thought I was going to say trap you, but that's not quite right. But I just thought I'd just sneak up on you. Fourth thing, while tithing and giving is a personal decision, our individual giving has an effect on the whole church, on the whole church community and the wider church community. And like Victor was saying, he didn't know what I was talking about this morning. I sort of kept it pretty secret. You know, he's saying, hey, when things happen in the church, if you're part of the church and you're giving in the church, you get a part of that. And we need us all together. Every person is important. We know that. We read about the body. Every part of your body's important. You need every part of it. You need every part of the body of Christ. Every person is important. Number five. These are just my little thoughts that I just wrote down. I believe that as a congregation, we are extremely generous. You are extremely generous. And look, on behalf of church leadership, I got to say thank you. Thank you for all you give. Honestly. It just makes a difference. And you know, although I go, yeah, I'm giving to God, I can't say I'm God and I'm thanking you, but on behalf of God, I go, man, God says thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for sowing in. And I know it's not always easy. And it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. Gene mentioned at Easter that love requires sacrifice. Well, love is expressed through sacrifice. Jesus died for us, sacrificed his life. Why? Because he loves us. Well, giving comes out of a love for God. And thank you for those that have sacrificed. Six, I think because of the generous giving of people in our church, we're able to give back to the kingdom, to the community, and to New Zealand and the world. And we're able to do some great things. I think roundabout, and I didn't go and check figures, I probably should have. We're giving as a church into things outside of others about $200,000 a year. That's amazing. That's incredibly good. Tell the person next to you, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. We're blessed. Seven, we're blessed because of the sacrificial giving of people who have gone before us. People who gave to this building. You know, we're blessed because we're in this building, but for a lot of us, we didn't even have a part of that. We've just come along at the right time and gone, hey, great, great building. It's great to be here. But others have gone before us. Lots of people. You know, I remember hearing about the guy who basically gave for the whole roof that was on this building at the time. That was generous. He's invested into us. Invested into us, and we received the benefit of it. But we don't want to take that for granted. We're blessed because of that, but we want to go, hey, I want to invest in for the next generation myself. The generation before has set us up to prosper. Look, again, like I say, I talk to pastors about, you know, they need to go get a church and they're looking at land. And look, they're talking about, for something like this, $10, $11, $12 million to do it. And I don't know about you, if I came to you today and said, right, we need to raise $12 million out of this group here. Are you ready to go? Oh my goodness, I can feel you all wanting to sit down, lie down. Like, that's a huge weight, isn't it? But we're blessed because we walked in here and someone paid it for us before. Now, here's the thing. We haven't completely paid for it all. We've still got a little bit of a mortgage there, about $2.4 million. Say it quickly, it doesn't sound very much. But we're blessed because of people going before us and sacrificing for it. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful. We're blessed. We're blessed for the people who gave into chairs that you're sitting on last year. Do you know, we've just given away, well, this afternoon we just end up giving away all those blue chairs. Took a while. We tried to sell them for $10 each, and we sold a few. But when we said we'd give them away, we got lots of responses. And so your generosity buying these chairs meant that we gave some chairs to a whole lot of other churches. And they're sitting on them, enjoying them. And you might go around the country and visit a couple of churches and go, oh, here's one of our old chairs. How good is that? But we're blessed. We're blessed because the government gave us, or the tech gave us some money towards that. How cool is that? You know, as a church, we are constantly asked to meet needs locally, nationally, internationally. Every week I get some sort of request. And the problem with me is I have to give it to other people because I'll just go, yep, let's do that. And so I have to make sure other people go, no, well, no, you know. Like I just go, God, do we need to give to this? Yes. So, you know, sometimes you don't want to ask because, you know, it's a yes. And look, for the church, it's no different than your situation that you go, man, I can't give to everything. Personally, I'm going, man, there's a needs come around. I can't always give. It's the same for the church. But we've got to do it by faith. Sometimes we stretch it a little bit just to give. And that's a good thing because I'm always blown away how much then God pours back in. It's phenomenal. The church works on the same principle that you work in your own life. We reap what we sow. The more we give away, the more God seems to bless us with. The more we all hold on to, the more scarier it gets. Number 10, I've sort of talked about this one. But look, as a church, we're in a strong position. I often talk and for businesses that I think, you know, if you're in a strong position in a business, you make better decisions. if you're in a strong position, if you've got cash flow problems and you're in a weak position, you often make dumb decisions. You have to take every job that comes along. Sometimes those jobs actually cost you rather than you make money out of them. But if you're in a strong position, then you make assessed on what you go and do, and you end up actually doing more profitable things. As a church, we're in a strong position, but we could be in a stronger position. And I'd always want to believe that we could get into a stronger position, that we can meet all the needs that come across for our city, for our nation, and for the world. So, in the context of all that, I come back to the first one, though. The first one is this: giving is a personal decision, and we shouldn't do it as a response to pressure, okay? And look, I always say to people, if you're under pressure when it comes to a decision, create space. If someone's pressurizing you, create space. The best one is, best one for if you're married is, mate, I'd love to do that, but I need to go home and talk it over with my wife. It's a great thing, guys. I'd love to do this, but I've just got to go home and talk to her. I've got to go talk to my board. I've got to go talk and create space. Because most of the places where people get into trouble is when, one, pressure comes on, and two, they don't talk to anybody about it. They're secret. Oh, you know? And look, if it's too good to true, it's probably not a good thing to do. And if you're too scared to talk to someone about it, that's a danger light. You know, if you've got something you're going to go talk to it. Proverbs talks about a wise person has wise advisors. You need wise advice. You need wise advice. Make sure you have wise advice, and at least make sure you've talked to your spouse. I can tell you from personal experience. Because we went and did a business. I was telling the men's group, it was a great men's breakfast yesterday. Very exciting. And I was just telling them, look, you know, for Ellen and I, we had a couple of really tough financial decisions that you know, in the end, you know, financial businesses that went wrong and we lost our house. And thankfully, this wasn't because I was smart. This was just the grace of God. I'd talked with Eleanor, and both of us had prayed that we'd go into this business. And so when it went pear-shaped, it wasn't, Ellen, you lost our house. You did it. It was a we, and I'm thankful for that we. It's a really good, important we to have. Hey, we decided to go do this. We made the decision to go do this. We take the responsibility of that. So make sure you're not doing, you know, some of the hard decisions. I think too often we do them alone. That's what community is about. There are some very smart people in this room, and you would be wise to go and have a chat to them if you need help. So I believe tithing is a biblical practice that sits alongside all our other Christian practices, like reading your Bible, like praying, worshiping. It's just another one in there that's all about living a life that's given to God. It's all about living a life that, hey, everything I have comes from God. And so just for those who don't know the definition, tithing is a practice of giving 10% of your income to God through giving. In the Old Testament, it was to the temple. In the New Testament, it's to the church. It's as simple as that. All your increase. So for me, that's whatever I make money. If I do some little deal, doing something like I buy a car and I sell a car and I make money on it, I'll go, well, I'm going to tithe out of that. Any increase. If I make a great investment and the investment, one, gives me a dividend but also grows, I go, oh, okay, that's an increase. I'm going to give to God out of that. It's a tithe. And so if you want to do a study, and I'm going to go real quick, how much time have I got left? Okay, I've got time to look. I personally, about 12 years ago, went on a journey to go, what do I believe about tithing? And went and did my own Bible study. Because I had so many people on either side, I was going to say yelling in my ear, telling me this and giving me books and telling you should read this. And they were for and against. And it's sometimes good to read through. Anything you read will help you get knowledge. But in the end, I thought, I've got to just go back to the Bible and read through and see what I think it says on it. Okay. So, you know, and in that, man, I was blown away. The first one for me was in the Garden of Eden. I'm going, what? And they're going, okay, there's not, definitely there's not the word tithing, but there certainly is a case for God setting aside what is his own. He had the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, which he said, they're mine, don't touch them. So there is always a portion of our life that belongs to God. And look, God, when Israel went in and took the new promised land, Jericho, God said, that's mine. So they gave Jericho, that was God. It was set apart for God. The Sabbath is set apart for God. It's right there in the start. Hey, the seventh, that's God's day. We give, so that's not a tithe, that's a seventh. But it's a giving. There is a principle in the word that comes out all the way through that where things were set apart for God. The Levites and the whole tribe of Israel were set apart for God. There is something about things in our life needing to be set apart as being God and as being holy. But you can go and have a good little study of that yourself. Cain and Abel, first offering. It's in Genesis 4, 2 to 7. Go over, read of that. That one puzzles me. It's one of those stories that puzzles me. Why did God reject Cain's offering? Why? So you go and have a bit of a read through. And I had five things that I got out of just studying that. Cain gave some of his crops. Abel gave the first. Okay, there must be something about giving first to God. What is God? Cain gave some of his crops. Abel gave his best. There's definitely a principle about giving God your best. Cain gave crops. Abel gave an animal, a lamb. Is there something there? The heart of Cain versus the heart of Abel. What was it? The fifth I put down was one of above, all of above, or something else. And I think we've got to go on a journey of going, well, have my heart in the right place? Is God challenged me to give them the first? You've got to go and read it and go, God, what are you saying to me? Certainly, probably the best line in there that I often think about is where God says to Cain, hey, sin is crouching at the door. Be careful how you respond. Be careful how you respond. And we know that the response was that he went and killed his brother. First murder in the Bible is over an offering. I'm glad that's not the same nowadays, over an offering. Okay, next area that I'm, you know, reading through is I get to Abraham and Melchizedek, a priest. And basically, Lot gets taken, and it's all there in Genesis 14. Lot gets taken. Abraham goes after Lot. But also there was two kingdoms that were also involved in that. And so, you know, Abraham comes back and he has a choice. The king of Sodom came out and the king of Salem, peace, came out. And, you know, Abraham gave everything to the king of Sodom. Again, you can go read this. You need to read it. If you're going, man, I don't know quite what he's talking about, go read the story. But Melchizedek, and I can't say his name very well, the response of Abraham to him was to give him a tenth. And Melchizedek is seen as he was a priest that they say is in the line of Christ. And there's a whole lot of chapters in the New Testament about that. About Christ following the line, and that even Abraham gave a tithe to Jesus through Melchizedek. Like, it's a phenomenal thing to go and study and understand. But here it is. The response was that Abraham was saying, I understand that everything I've just got and everything I have has come from God. And as a response and of a love and a thankfulness for that, I'm giving him a tithe. It was a stance that's saying, God is my God. He is my king. I understand that everything I have has come from him. You go on further, and Jacob has the sort of the same revelation. He decides that the God of his father is his God. He goes through, his own little journey to work out whether he's going to serve God. And in the end, the response of, yes, I'm going to serve God, was that now I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I earn. It was a statement about lordship. It was a statement of saying, God is my God. You go through, there's Moses with tithing, Malachi. How many people have heard verses from Malachi about tithing? Well, you want to go read that. Malachi is an amazing book, but it's not all about tithing. It's actually all about people's hearts growing cold and doing things just out of a motion for doing them without having their heart in them. It's definitely a book about not giving your best. In fact, if I read Malachi, God is mad with leadership. It's a thing about leadership in Malachi. Leaders that were not giving the best to God. The priests were sacrificing, but they would give the lambs that had defects and weren't very good, and they'd keep the others for themselves. And God says, You're not showing that you love me, you're not giving your best. But you can go read that for yourself. And then we get to the New Testament. And lots of people go, well, you know, the New Testament, we're now not under law. And I go, that is definitely true. That's why I come back and go, you've got to have a heart revelation around giving and tithing, not a head one around it. And okay, New Testament, the only place Jesus talks about it. Are you ready? You got your Bible? Matthew 23. And Luke 11, and I'll read both of them because I think it's worthwhile me reading both of these passages because, you know, they're what Jesus had to say. And so in verse 23, again, worthwhile going and reading the context. I always recommend people go and read the context. But verse 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Okay, let's read Luke 11, 42. Same sort of story from Luke's perspective. What sorrow awaits you Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So what are the more important things? Now, just before we jump on to the more important things, Jesus is saying here, he is reinforcing, yes, tithe. Do you see that? It's really quite... He's going, yes, tithe. But he's moving on to go, hey, that's not the only thing. And my reading of this is that when he's talking about these things like justice and love for God, he's talking about with their money. He's saying to these guys, mate, you only give exactly the amount that you have to give. But you should be giving with your heart. You should be looking after justice. What's he mean by justice? You should be paying people well in your businesses. You should be justice. You should be looking after people financially. You should be helping the poor. That's what he's talking about. The context is with our money. Not just going, I've just done my tick box and I'm doing the right thing. No, out of a passion and love for God, I'm doing more than that. I'm doing it out of a worship for God. When we give, it's worship. It's an offering. It's an offering to God. So he's saying, don't just sit on the side of just being a person that tithes. Be someone that does more than that. And we know that. When you read New Testament, it's about, man, you know, the early church were off the right. They were everything was in. Everybody selling everything and giving it into them. Are you excited about that one? You know, we've got to live in this zone where, hey, it's a heart thing. So here's my couple of little thoughts. Tithing is a way to acknowledge that God is our God. Everything I have is from him. I'm blessed. And because of that, my response is, God, what can I do? My response is to love. Tithing is an act of worship that should come from your heart. It's got to be something that comes from your heart. Tithing requires faith. It's a faith step. I know that everything's got more expensive. Have you noticed that? The shopping, my goodness, Eleanor comes home with the shopping. I'm going, man, we're spending as much now for three of us that we were spending for six, 5 years ago. I go, mate, this doesn't, like, it's tight. How many people think it's tight? That thing called inflation. I could help the government do a better job of that, I think, but that's okay. But tithing replies faith. It's a faith step. And I love everything working out and doing budgets, but there is a part of it where I have to go, God, I'm just going to have to give this to you. It's a step of faith. And fourth, I wrote this, tithing can actually be good for your finances. It might seem counterintuitive, but giving away a portion of our income actually helps us to manage our money better. When we prioritize giving to God, we are less likely to overspend on frivolous things or get caught up in the cycle of consumerism. We become more mindful of our spending and more intentional about our financial goals. Because if I say, if we, you know, you go look at your budget, you go, man, I can't afford to it. Well, suddenly you go, well, what could I cut? What could I give up? Like, it's exciting. You don't look excited about it. It's exciting going, man, what could I do without? You know, I think in a sense, sometimes we become a little bit soft in our Christianity. I was listening to a guy from Ethiopia saying, you know, you New Zealanders and you're fasting. What's this fasting where you sort of drink water and you eat some of your food? That's not fasting. Fasting's when you give up your food. I'm sitting there going, oh, okay. They do fasts where they don't drink for 3 days or eat. That's hardcore, isn't it? I don't think I could do that. I've tried just doing fasting with just water. Man, on day four, I was going nuts. Like, just water, like it was just, I had to have a milkshake. But I go, man, we there's a challenge in our Christian walk to diet ourselves and to step up. Well, how about in our finances? I know you'll be sitting there going, Matt, Alan, you just don't know my budget. I can't afford to. Trent Membrane from up at C3 up in Ellerslie was talking about this, and he had a young girl come to him and turn to her and say, look, I can't, look, you know, look, I'm young and I can't afford to tithe. Honestly, I can't afford to tithe. So, you know, Luke went, oh, yeah, well, sorry, not Luke. Trent goes, oh, yeah, okay. So Trent watched her Facebook and Instagram posts for the next 2 weeks. She was out to breakfast here. She was at this cafe eating there. You know, that whole thing of taking photos of your food and all that. He came back to her 2 weeks later and said, I can help you. I know how you could afford to tithe. You could give up some things. I don't know how it went. It's okay. I'm not going to Facebook stalk you and find out what you're doing with your money. But it does make her think, hey, you know, there was always things where we can go, man, I can give this stuff up. Why can we give them up? Because we're amazingly blessed. You know, really, to live, what do we simply need? House to live in, you know, some food, Wi-Fi. You know, what do we really need? And we get in this mentality that we need so many things. That's why every one of us should go on a missions trip. Yeah. Go to a third world. They have far less and seem to be at times enjoying life a lot more. True. We're blessed. Yeah. We're blessed. Musicians can come, but here's your challenge. Here's your challenge. If you don't give, why don't you start? And again, I go, not for me to say how much you should start, but try and do something. The best way for me to be able to give is that the first thing that comes out, the first AP out of when I get something goes. And I go, right, now I've got what's left to live on. I'm often asked, do you give on the gross or the net? Bad news, I give on the gross. That's just the way I see it, because in biblical times, their taxes came after that. Our government's so nice and generous, it takes its tax first. I don't know whether that's generous or not. but that's. But you've got to know personally, what are you going to do? And start somewhere. You can always start somewhere. You know? Now, look, often when I talk about tithing, I also think you should be thinking about investing as well. I think, you know, 10% tithing and 10% investing would be a great thing for us all to put into our lives. And maybe try and live on 70% of what you get. And when you get it increased, put it into being more of an investment or giving. Anyhow, that's just good makes sense. So if you don't give, why don't you do something about it? Go and ask God. I'm warning you, if you really genuinely ask God, he will speak about it. And second, you know, if you do give, thank you, can you do more? I want to be increasing in my giving. I want to give more and more. I'd love it to get to the day when I can give 50% away. What a great position. How many people would love it that they could just give 50% away? It's not hard to find where you could give it, is there? We see, mate, it'd be just amazing. We'll get towards that. And for those that all through my sermon have been wondering, so when am I getting my giving receipt back? Because I know that's in some of your heads. In the next 2 weeks. So if you've been giving, you'll get your receipt back in the next 2 weeks. If you haven't got it in 2 weeks' time, then just send us a little email, because maybe we don't have your right contact details. But ask God, what can I give? Could I give more? That's all. That's the end of my message. We're blessed, eh? Yeah. Are you blessed? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you've blessed us. We are just overwhelmed with how amazingly generous you are. We thank you that everything we have comes from you. We know that our ability to gain wealth has come from you. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to live a life of faith. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that's maybe struggling with it or is fighting with it. Lord, I just pray that you would give them peace. That, Lord, it wouldn't be a pressure, but Lord, it would be one of the greatest joys of their life. Lord, I know giving is just one of the best ways to keep positive about life. To realize that, man, what a privilege it is that we do have something to give. And Lord, we want to motto you who gave. You're forever giving. And we just are so grateful for that. Lord, I pray for each person here that as they go on that journey, that Lord, that you would speak to them. And Lord, that faith would rise in their heart. And Lord, you'd give them revelation, that you'd speak to them. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.